You know, and the title of sermonette is, "By This Standard You Can Know." And in this life, you know, we set many standards or many measurements by which we judge the things that we partake of, the things that we participate in, the places we go, and even the people we associate with. Well, it is when we have the freedom to choose. Sometimes your job and things like that, you don't really have a choice, so you make the best of it. But we do have standards that we measure our life by in every aspect of it. Well, we should have. And sometimes those standards aren't very high. There have been many times in our lives, I'm sure, I know in my life, and I'm sure in your life too, that the standards that we set should have been much higher. We should have measured it differently. We should have paid more attention to it. And we paid so many penalties for that, being lack in our decisions, not making the proper decisions. And even at that, in this life, the very best that we can do, there's still no assurance that the things that we partake in, partake of, that we participate in, places we go or the people we get involved with, is going to be up to the standard that we should have set for ourselves, or that we do set for ourselves. And as Christians, sometimes we, being a Christian, you know, self-righteousness steps into our life, and we become exalted in our own self, especially when we understand and know things that people around us don't know. So sometimes we set that standard a little too high because of self-righteousness, and we exalt that, and it doesn't always turn out just right. Then many times, being as Christians, knowing God's truth, trying to be humble, trying to be meek, which we are to abase our own selves, not to esteem ourselves higher than others, no shape, form, or fashion, but to esteem ourselves lower than others. But sometimes we can get to the point that is to the extreme in that direction, that we become easy to persuade, easy to drag along into things that, where our standard, we let that standard come down just to keep from offending people or saying something or doing something that we might think that they would take offense by. So those, as Christians, you know, we deal with those things every day. But with our Bible as a guide, and that's where we get all of our instruction, all of our guidance is from the Bible. That's where it all has to come from, not from man's books, man's ideas, man's teachings, concepts. We can be assured that there are certain standards or measurements or ways to know if we are living our life up to the standards that God expects, that God demands of us. He absolutely demands it. The things we live by, our actions, our thoughts, and our deeds. So we can look at four points today, and there's many, many, many points in the Bible that instructs us how to set the standard that we need to live, all the instructions God has given us to follow, to be the kind of people that we should be, to raise up God first, Jesus Christ, and always put ourselves way below that, and others even before us. So let's just look at four different ways that we can know and we can be assured of that there are standards that God has set for us. Number one is that we can know, I mean know, as if you know someone, acquainted with them, that we know there's a standard we can go by, that we know God, the Father, and Jesus, His firstborn Son. And number two, we can know that we are the children of God. We've been begotten by God's Spirit. We're to be born into His family. We can know, number three, that God is in us and we're in God. Because He dwells in us, Jesus Christ and the Father, they come and make their abode with us. And number four, we can know and be assured, know for a fact, that we love the brethren. It's very important. If we don't love the brethren, we have no part of Christ, no part of God. So let's turn to 1 John, and that'd be the only book that we'll turn to, because John wrote about all these aspects. It's just an outstanding book. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. So much information in it. So let's turn to 1 John 2 and 3. 2 and verse 3. And it says in that scripture, and this is talk about number one, the fact that we can know God, know Him personally. And it says, by this, it can be by this standard, by this measurement, we know that we know Him. How is it that we can be assured of the fact that we know God? There is a way. If we keep His commandments. See, His commandments aren't grievous. They're not hard to keep. It's like the Sabbath. They're very simple, actually. I know we've all struggled with it, and we've all sinned because we've all broken those commandments. But we can know that we know God if we keep His commandments. Because God is very aware of us, our heart, and our minds. And the one who says, I know Him, in verse 4, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Verse 5, it says, on the other hand, if anyone is keeping His word, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. And isn't that our goal, to be perfected? The love of God, to become holy and perfect as He is holy and perfect. That will come when we're born into His family. By this means, we know that we are in Him. And verse 6 goes on to say, we're to walk as He walked. And number 2, we are the children of God. We can know that for a fact. In 1 John 3 and 10, it states that by this standard, by this measurement, by this fact, are manifest the children of God and the children of the devil. We want to be the children of God. Everyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. How do we practice righteousness? We put God first, Jesus Christ first, we keep His commandments, live by His commandments, have no other God before Him, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And neither is one who does not love his brother. See, we're obligated to love one another. Not just superficial, but to love one another. Not as Cain, who was a wicked one and murdered his own brother. And what was the reason he murdered him? Because his own works were wicked. That's why he wasn't accepted. He was wicked. It was sin. Abel's works were righteous. Our works is to be righteous. We know we live by grace and faith and by works. Number 3, We can know that we are in God and that God is in us, because His Word tells us that. See, God's not a liar. God is truth. His Word is truth. Every word that proceeds out of His mouth is truth. Every word in this Bible is God-breathed unless man interferes with it. So if you turn to 1 John 4:3, sorry, 4:13. He says, by this standard, or by this fact, by this measurement, we know that we are dwelling in Him, in God, Jesus Christ, and He is dwelling in us because of His own Spirit, which He has given to us. The Holy Spirit that we've been gotten by, we can be assured of the fact is that God dwells in us and that we dwell in Him. As Christ is in the Father, the Father's in Christ, so we're in Christ, He is in us, and they came and make their abode with us. As we have seen for ourselves, this is John talking, and they did see for their own selves, and bear witness that the Father sent the Son as the Savior of this world. Our Savior today, as much as it was His Savior then. There's no difference. Same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. He is our resurrection. He is our life. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. That has to be in truth. It's not like saying, yeah, I believe in Christ. I believe in Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. It goes beyond that. There's deeper commitment. And we have known, verse 16 says, and have believed that God, that the love of God has toward us. God is love, and the one who dwells in love is dwelling in God and God in him. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, if we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and being, strength, we love the brethren as we're supposed to love each other, God is dwelling in us, and we're dwelling in Him. That's an assurance. And number four, we can be assured there's a way that we know that we love the brethren. 1 John 5:2 states this: by this standard, by this measurement, by this fact, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep His commandments. It's all based on love. Love of God, love of each other. For this is the love of God. This is what He wishes. This is the love He gives us. This is the love He expects to be returned to Him. That we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Now then, it says in verse 4, everyone who is begotten by God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith in what? In the words of God, His truth, His assurances, the fact it is He never changes, He never lies, He will never deceive us, He will never lead us astray. Men's the one that do that. They come up with all kinds of ideas and concepts and false things that they expect us to follow. But God's not that way. He is a true Father, and He loves His children, His begotten children, and He wants to be our Father forever, for all eternity, to be born into His family, as our elder brother Jesus Christ has been already done. So if we set our standards as a Christian, they have to be high. And even though we stumble and we fall flat on our face, we have to get back up, keep that standard, and still walk toward it. It has to be a high standard. We can't compromise it in self-righteousness or in being too humble, too meek. We have to be able to stand for what the truth is regardless of any circumstance. So if we search the scriptures, which is God's word, daily, to be reproved by it, to be corrected by it, to be encouraged by it, lifted up by all the words that's in the Bible, that's the truth. And if we allow the Bible to teach us how to stand in the grace of God that He has poured out on us, it's an amazing thing. And if we walk by the faith that He has delivered to us, that's been delivered through His truth by ministers throughout the beginning of the writing of the Bible, actually, all the way through the Law of Prophets, Psalms, New Testament. It's been delivered to us. And we believe in the hope of the eternal life that we will receive at the resurrection. The harvest of the first fruits that Pentecost points to. And if we live in love that God has poured out in our hearts by His Holy Spirit, then we will know we are living our lives as Christians according to the right standards, the standards that God approves of, not the ones that we compromise with. So knowing that and understanding that, let's try to strive to keep up to that standard that we know God wants us to have. And in the meantime, until Christ returns, that we keep the faith.